Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Geek Vibes Live.
Hey, this is Matt Lesher. I play Eobard Thawne on DC TV's The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, and you are listening to Geek Vibes Live.
Hello, Geek Vibes Nation! Man, that was too much chest. Whew, a lot of it. But anyways, this is Dane, your good friend and podcast buddy, and this is another enticing interview with Geek Vibes Live, along with me and the amazing Joel. Joel, how are you doing, sir? Are you excited for tonight?
Super excited. Let's get this done.
All right, let's get this started. Our guest tonight is an American film, TV actor, director, producer, musician, and stand-up comedian. He is known for his performance in Sorority Boys for portraying Dutch Nilbog on Fox's Breaking In, Buddy Dobbs on TV Land's Impastor, his band The Sandwich, his podcast Inside of You, and as Wally West, a.k.a. The Flash, in the DC Animated Universe. I think I'm forgetting something. Oh, you might know him for portraying a villain by the name of Lex Luthor in a little show we call Smallville. All right. Take a little listen. Well,
I tried to be your friend, Lex. But all you care about is power and control.
This is Smallville! Meteor freaks, alien ships, cryptic symbols. These threats are real. Someone had to take control. Someone has to protect the world.
Listen to yourself, Lex. You're so caught up in your own delusions, you've lost track of reality.
Have I? Then let's talk about something you can't deny. After years of pleading with my father to show me some compassion, he turned to you with open arms. Now, what would a worldly billionaire have in common with a simple farm boy?
Maybe he just knew he could trust me.
Of course. Everyone can trust Clark Kent.
Geek Vibes Nation, I have chills. Give it up for Michael Rosenbaum. Take it away, Joel.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Well, first of all, Joel, is it Joel?
Yeah.
You didn't seem that excited when he asked you if you were excited.
I'm excited. I'm super excited, bro.
I'm kidding.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm going to tone it down now.
I was listening clip, and it's amazing when you hear it on, like, radio, or you hear it and you don't see the image. It's very, like, it sounds so dramatic. I'm like, oh, my God. Everybody knows Clark Kent. And I just found that's so funny when you hear this stuff. You're like, oh, my gosh. But it's a treat to be on your show. And, yes, I sort of remember that day.
Wow. I mean, it's a treat to have you on. I'm going to say it's an honor, man. Like, we've been hoping to have you on forever, and, like, we've been geeking out all month. So,
well, it's my honor, man. I'm happy to be able to do it.
We appreciate it, like, so much. Well, now that we're on the topic of Smallville, how was it playing Lex Luthor on Smallville?
I was pretty, you know, it was fun. I'm Forrest Gump now. It was fun. I had fun. Boy, playing a bald villain was a good time. You know, I was scared to hell to do it, and I knew there were so many comic book fans and, you know, just small, you know, Superman fans, if you will, all over the world. And I was like, what was going to happen? You know, are they going to fire me? Am I good enough? Are the fans going to hate me? And people are going, well, who are you going to emulate? And I decided I'm not going to emulate anybody. I'm just going to do it my way and sort of just, you know, learn my lines, be believable, show some intensity, and play. And hopefully the writing is good. And it was. All the pieces just fit. And it was an honor to play that role, and it was a joy. It wasn't easy. I'll tell you that. I think people think, you know, it's like, you're an actor. Shut up. You get paid a lot of money. Just do your role. And I would say the same thing. It's better than digging ditches. It's better than doing a lot of other things. But, you know,
sure,
when you immerse yourself into a role and you put, you know, 16 hours a day and you shave your head and your makeup artist cuts your, you know, your scalp every few days. No, it was intense. It was fun. You're like in a bubble. We filmed in Vancouver, Canada, Smallville, for 7 years. I left after seven and came back for the series finale. So, I think I'm part Canadian, so I'm part nice.
You're part nice. I like that. You're part nice. Okay. How was it voicing the Flash on the Justice League animated show for as long as you did?
You know, doing that, playing the Flash was just a gift. I remember I had just gotten Smallville, and I had been doing some, like, Batman Beyonds and other things like that, like little voices mm-hmm. here and there. And, you know, playing the Flash, it's pretty easy because you just really, you know, I went in there to audition, and I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never auditioned really for animated stuff until I came out to California and a few years into it. But you don't have to shave. You don't have to shave your head. You don't have to take a shower. You'd like to smell decently, of course, in the studio with the other actors. But you just sit there with a soda and the script, and you read it once with Andrea Romano, who is one of the best directors ever, and Bruce Timm. And you just read it, and she tells you ways to read it, louder, more intense, this. And it's an easy job. I had the time of my life, and I really didn't think, you know, it's like, I have all these old DVDs of The Flash and all these voiceovers, and I'm like, oh, you know, this is neat. If I have kids one day, I'll show them. But then I go to these conventions, like I just went to Dragon Con in Atlanta, and people,
nice.
Like hundreds and hundreds of people are coming up going, hey, and wanting an autograph from the voice of The Flash. I'm like, well, it's just my voice. And they're like, yeah. It's just weird, but it was an honor. And I got those roles both at the same time, really, within 6 months of each other.
Animated voice actors sometimes give me more chills than actual actors. It's crazy. I don't know why.
That's cool.
It just works out that way. I don't know why. It just does something for me. Like Kevin Conroy,
Kevin Conroy,
that would be great.
Kevin Conroy should get on. He's a tremendous talent, and he's incredibly funny. And you know, it was great because Andrea Romano. I don't know if you're aware of her, but in the animated world, she's done everything: SpongeBob and Animaniacs.
Legend,
and she directed all of our episodes. And they just had a retirement party for her. And I was there, and it was me, Mark Hamill, Pinky and the Brain, just John DiMaggio from Futurama, and just a bunch of actors there to support her. And I get nervous. You see Mark Hamill, it's freaking Luke Skywalker and the Joker, and he got up there and gave a speech and did the Joker voice. It was incredible.
That had to be amazing. To be in that room had to be amazing. That's just awesome.
Well, listen, I want you guys to know this. I mean, anybody who knows me or listens to my podcast,
we do.
Inside of you. What's inside of you with my
Poison
Bomb? Yeah, well, I know. Of course you do. But I'm a fanboy. I'm really like, I'm not. I get nervous when I interview people. I really do, whether it's a tennis player or Eli Roth horror director who's a friend, or I get nervous because I never have felt comfortable around famous people. I pretend that I am, and I'll do movies, and I'll act with people, and I'll, when they say action, I focus, and I'm in that zone. But hanging out with other celebrities has always been really weird to me. So when I see celebrities, or when I try to suck it up and try to act cool, and it never happens. I never act cool. I walk away thinking I am a dipshit. Can I say that on the air? Can you believe that?
Oh yeah, you can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want, honestly. Yeah.
I was feeling the vibes, the geek vibes.
Yeah, for real. This is the place to do it too, obviously.
Yeah, good.
So, all right. So between Lex and The Flash, which one did you enjoy more or less?
Well, between Lex and The Flash, Lex made me more money. That's for sure.
That's a good point. Good point.
That was 22 episodes a year, live action. You know, they were both great, but you know, Lex Luthor was such an icon that to be able to play that character and to get the response from fans, and it was just a terrific experience. I love every job you do is you learn something from it, and that really was my family for 7 years. I never see my family, and every day you're looking at Tom and seeing him shirtless and going, oh great, and then he's seeing me naked, and he's like, oh great, Rosamund's naked again. And I just had him on the podcast, and we were talking about old times, but it's like a family. Kristen Krug just emailed me the other day, and she goes, oh my God, I haven't talked to you forever. I'm in Toronto, and blah, 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 and I miss you, and I hope you're well, and Allison Mack's coming on the show. And so it's like, it's still
nice.
Even though you don't talk to them forever, you still, it's still family. You still spend a lot of time with these people.
Exactly, exactly. So what made you get into podcasting exactly?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think I've always thought I'd, I don't know if I wanted to be an actor when I was young, but I wanted to be a TV host. And I thought, you know, I could interview people really well. I bet I could do that because I just don't care.
Right.
And, again, I try to be the fly on the wall and just ask questions that no one will ask sometimes. Or, you know, I could be a little vulgar. I could be a little whatever. But for some reason, it comes off maybe charming because I just don't – I'm not trying to be a dick, and sometimes things will come off. I don't know. But I just – enough people told me, why don't you do a podcast? And I said, all right, let's do it in my living room. And, you know, we did it. And for me, it's a lot of times you have people come on the shows, on these late-night talk shows, and they're like, all right, here's Ryan Reynolds. Ryan, you're beautiful, and your wife's beautiful, and your baby's beautiful. The shit you took is beautiful. what's your new project, man? All right, ha-ha. And everybody acts like they're cool, and I sort of wanted to go, hey, I want to find out who this person is. And I know you have only 6 minutes in a late night program, but, you know, why not take 2 minutes out of that time to say, hey, you know, let me talk about this dark shit that happened, or this something where you know, when you started, I want to find out who they are. By the end of the episode, I want everyone listening, including myself, to get a pretty good idea of who this person really is, who they became, how hard it was to get there, or easy, or what adversity they faced. And believe it or not, it's become therapy for me. So at the end, all these people, when they go through certain things, Chris Hardwick came on, and he's talking about his anxiety. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have anxiety. I get like, and I kept hammering him about anxiety. And he kept talking to me about it and all these things. And I just learned so much about myself. So it's, I guess, kind of selfish in a way. The podcast, I should rename it Selfish with Michael Rosenbaum. Instead of inside of you.
Or do you need a Klonopin?
yeah, exactly.
But you're a natural. You're a natural, bro. We love the show. It's one of my favorites now. So it's like, you just sound the same on the podcast. Anywhere you go, you always sound like a really cool dude. So it worked out for you so far, at least.
Oh, dude. You know, and I know how hard it is. It's like, you know, I really respect what you guys are doing. And it's like, you got a great show here. And it's like, you know, there's so many podcasts out there, and it's like, you know,
you're competing with it.
But I think if you're just true to yourself and you're like, hey, I'm doing what I want to do, and you guys are obviously doing what you want to do, you hope people will just visit you and spend an hour with you or however much time with you. And that's what it's about. It's like I'm having a conversation. I hope you like listening to me, and I'm asking some of the questions maybe you'd like to know. And even if you don't know the actor, you don't know the athlete or the personality, maybe you get to know them and go, wow, that, I didn't know that about that person. I learned something from them. And that's sort of the inadvertent approach, I guess.
That's true. That's exactly right. I mean, it's our passion, so that's what we do. As long as you can take your voice, listening to your own voice, it's not that bad.
Yeah, if you guys are doing a show that you don't want to do and you're just trying to get people to listen because it's not because you think it's what they want, then that's not. You have a niche and, like, this is what we're talking about. These are the guests we want to get. This is what, you know, this is our goal. And that's it.
Right.
And that nothing should sway, you know, from that. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm in my infancy stage. We've only done, like, you know, I think we've just aired our 10th. And but it's great, man. I'm enjoying it. It's easy. It's easy when you're having fun. And this is like one of the few jobs I've had where I actually have a really good time. I'm in my living room. I don't have to leave the house. I don't have to put makeup on. I don't have to shave my head. I just put a microphone there in my underwear, sometimes put pants on, and I just go.
Yeah, sometimes. Not mandatory.
Yeah. Exactly.
How was it working with Sly Stallone on the set of Guardians 2?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, it was great. Sly was, you know, when you're younger and you're like, God, I want to be Rocky. I want to be Rambo. I want to fucking be anything. I want to be that cliffhanger guy. I want to be Copland. You know, and the
Trent.
List goes on. And then one day, somehow, this kid from Newburgh, Indiana, is doing a movie with him. We're hanging on set, and there's Stallone. And you're hoping, God, I hope my hero is just a tenth as cool as I have him pictured in my head. And when he got on set, he just was so likable. He was like, I had these dots on my face because they CGI my face in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And the first day, he's like, hey, who are you supposed to be with the dots on your face? Were you Pippi Longstocking? What is this? And I just started laughing, and then I started goofing off with him. I go, Sly, I don't know if you've ever done a movie where they do post-CGI, post-stuff. That's why they have the dots on my face. So why don't you figure it out? And I just kind of messed with him a little bit, and he started laughing. He's like, oh, there's something wrong with you. I'll tell you what, something wrong with you. And every day I'd mess around. We'd sing 70s, like, love songs and drive James Gunn crazy because James is always like, oh, my God, your music. Why do you like some of this music? And I would start singing a song. Like, there's that song. I've told this story, I think, once, but there's a song in First Blood, and it's by a singer named Dan Hill. And he sings this song, and it's like, it's a long road when you're all alone. It's like, and it goes on. And all of a sudden, I start singing it, and Sly just joins me. It's a long road when you're all alone. And we just laughed. He took my cell phone. He started videotaping himself at the premiere for Guardians. He came up to me and says, yo, hey, Michael. It's the first time he said my name. First I was Dot Face, and then I was something else. And then, but he's like, hey, Michael. I'm like, yeah? He's like, we got to be coming back, right? I'm like, well, I would hope. He goes, I mean, look, the end credits, like, come on, right? A part one's bigger now. And I'm like, Sly, dude, my last name is Rosenbaum. Your last name's Stallone. Shouldn't you know these things? Not me. And he goes, you know what? You're right. You're right, Dot Face. And that was pretty. Now, so, and we still don't know. No one knows anything. It's like, I'm sitting here going, I have no idea what's ever going to happen, if anything's going to happen with that again.
Yeah, you'll definitely be coming back at some point. I have no doubt about it.
Well, you're mouth to God's ears, my friend, or to James Gunn's ears.
I can't imagine that nothing happens. It has to. It's just the way it ended, you know.
I hope so. It was a great time.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a good time, though, anyway. So, were you, like, into comic books ever before you got into, like, the entertainment business, or this all new to you when you, like, got the Lex job and all that?
You know, it was really new to me. I was a huge horror movie fan. Like, I have a whole box of Fangoria magazines, and
nice.
You know, I was going to horror, conventions before I landed any role, before I was anybody. Right. And I would go and I'd get an autograph from Flyboy, you know, the zombie from Dawn of the Dead, Romero's Dawn of the Dead. And it was like, charge me $10. And I'd go outside and have a smoke with him and go, man, I'm hanging out with Flyboy. Like, that was the best thing in my life at that point. I'm hanging out with one of the guys who turns into a zombie in Dawn of the Dead. I've made this fucking career, man. And I feel like, wait, what was your question? I got a lot. I was a fanboy. So I've always been, wait, go ahead.
No, Matt, you're a fanboy. You can go from there.
Yeah, I've just always been a fanboy. And I would geek out. And, you know, I think that for me, it's like I never read comics, but I was always like in the horror movies. I was always into, you know, Bruce Campbell, and then I ended up working with Bruce Campbell. So it's always, this has been just a big treat for me. And so when I got Smallville, I was clueless. And I think that's the best thing about it is, I think if I knew too much, I would have ruined it. I would have tried too hard. I would have, not that I didn't try, but I would have tried to be, I would have maybe gone a different way when working on the role. Like maybe I would have, who knows? But I didn't know anything other than Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman. I love the movies. That was it. And so when I got the part, I just said, you know, I'll just be true to the character. I'll just really invest everything I got, and hopefully they like it. And that's the honest to God truth. So, but now I'm sitting here looking at an original piece of art by Alex Ross with Aquaman and Wonder Woman and Batman and the Flash and that he signed for me years ago in my office. And I'm like,
nice.
Hey, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing, that's for sure. We're big horror fans on this side, too. So especially now, I mean, horror has gotten a lot better in the last couple of years. So it's a really exciting time.
Yeah, you know, I wish that I just want to be scared more. I just want to go into a theater, and I honestly want to be on the verge of shitting my pants. Is that too much to ask for? I love The Strangers. It Follows had some good scares, and it was creepy and original. I like stuff like that.
Ghost
Paranormal Activity, the first couple. What's that?
Ghost STD.
I said it was a Ghost STD.
No.
And I like the concept in the Alfred Hitchcock throwback. By the way, I'm Dane. Sorry for interrupting, but... weird with the concept of whatever the heck that was. But I love It was a lot of fun.
It was great,
absolutely. I think, but yes, I ultimately, like, you know, I write horror and I'm just enamored by it. And I think part of the reasons why I'm a little messed up is my mom used to make me watch movies with her, like Alien and The Shining, when I was 8. So, And I think that, you know, there's something, so I'm a little messed up. So, but there's something fascinating about it. To me, it's like going on a roller coaster. It's a thrill. It's like when you get a real scare, your adrenaline kicks in, your heart races. It's like there's nothing quite like it. And some people hate it, and I don't think I'll date a girl unless she likes horror movies. I can't deal with it. Now, I get scared. I won't be able to sleep. I'm like, well, we're not dating. I'm sorry, we're not dating if you can't dig a horror movie.
I totally understand that feeling. Trust me, I get it.
Yep.
So you're a funny guy. So how long have you been doing stand-up?
You know, last year I said I'm going to really push myself, and I'm going to do the two most terrifying things that I could think of. Stand-up in front of a lot of people, doing stand-up comedy, and playing music in front of people, my own music or any music.
Right.
And I said, I'm going to do it. You know, you only live once. And I stressed the hell about it, and I was just pushing myself. And I started really in January, and I've been up like 50 times between improv and the Comedy Store in L.A. and Laugh Factory and Irvine and just a bunch of places. And I just keep going up. And the scary thing is, you know, they put me up there with, like, big comedians. Because I don't know, I just, you know, I have friends that are big comedians, so comics, so they put me up, and it's actually worse because you're going up in front of guys that are been doing this their whole life, and you kind of think, oh, they're looking at me funny, like, who the hell is this punk? He's been doing it for, he just started, he's going up with us with the book, but they're actually all really cool. Joe Rogan's phenomenal, and Bobby Lee, and Nick Swartzen, and Harlan Williams, and everybody's been so cool, and you know, it's bucket list stuff. I think we're all going to the same place. I've said it before, but you know, when I'm 80 years old, I want to say, God, I'm dying now. Why was I so scared about going up in front of people? I'm going to die. Who cares? And so I'm trying to approach things differently as I get older, and just have more of an attitude of, let's just try it. Let's just try it. And even if I'm scared and fighting it, I know it's probably because it's all based on fear, you know. Everything.
Right.
When you say no to something, a lot of times it's fear-based. It's like, I can't do that. Sure. I'm going to fail. Okay, then fail. And so I'm still, I haven't mastered it, but I'm learning. So that's one of the reasons why I started doing all that. And my band's fun, The Sandwich. We're playing tonight.
Right.
I invited a buddy
tonight.
To the place. Yeah, we have our band practice. We just played at Hotel Cafe. We played at the Troubadour. We played in Germany, and you know, we have a good time. We're a bunch of friends, and most of my friends here that play in the band are stoners, and it's hard to focus. But you know, we have a good time. We're bringing a guy that plays synthesizer in the night. I want to play some 80s feel. I want our songs to start feeling like a little more 80s. But we're having a good time, and people don't think we suck, so that's a start.
You've become an entertainment renaissance man. You just do everything.
You know what? I figured, why not do everything? Here's the thing. It's hard. This is a hard thing I'm trying to make you understand. I almost would rather suck at everything but one thing. I wish I was just brilliant at one thing. But here's the problem. I don't suck at everything, but I'm okay, or I'm pretty good. And I'd rather just suck, because then I wouldn't waste my time on it. But I do it enough where I'm like, well, some people like this, so maybe. So now I'm doing all these things that are just exhausting me, but I don't even know if I'm really good at any of them. And I guess when it comes down to it, it's all about just having fun. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to weed out the shit that's not fun and just do what I like. Like the podcast, I enjoy. It's fun. You know, if it ever becomes unfun, then I got to change my ways. So.
Yeah, I totally get that. But that's a good way of looking at it, too. So you definitely have the right mindset, for sure.
Yeah, I'm still learning, dude, I'll tell you.
So are we, trust us. Dane's going to take over for the rest of the questions, but, man, it's been really a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it's awesome, man. Real pleasure.
Always a fan, man.
Yeah, I'll come back, man. I'll come back. I've been crazy, but I definitely want to come back on.
You should.
Well, don't think you're bothering me. I got to get those direct tweets from you. I'll eventually, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah, don't worry.
Well, Michael, we appreciate having you on, and I've been watching and listening. I work at a warehouse during my job, and I've been listening to a lot of Inside of You. Great podcast, man. You were talking about it with Joel. I just want to give you some praise on the fact that it's like you mentioned Joe Rogan, but Joe Rogan's podcast, he has a similar type of flavor, and I'm a big wrestling mark, so I listen to Chris Jericho. You guys all have a way about doing your conversations, which I really like. I'm aspiring eventually to do a single myself and another person just talking. But you guys just talk and have conversations, and you add your humor into it. And it's not like a cookie-cutter style interview, so I wanted to, you know, give you a little bit of appreciation on that. I'm glad that I was able to catch that.
You know what, Dane? That means a lot to me. And it's, you know, as you know, we talked about it, how hard it is to get a podcast really up and going. And that, again, that's just being true to myself. I'm trying. Like this, I could listen to the first couple and go, okay, God, you're interrupted here. And I remember Nick Swartzen goes, don't interrupt me on the, you know, and he's my good buddy, but he was like, and I could tell he was like kind of serious. And I'm like, fuck you, man. You're my second guest. I'm figuring this shit out. And ultimately, that's what it is. It's a learning curve. It's like you're not going to be Howard Stern on episode one, or maybe ever. But if you just go your own way and ask the questions you want to ask, and you just say the things you want to say, and if something comes to you, just throw it out there. Like if you want to say right now, Michael Rosenbaum, are you fucking naked right now when you're speaking to us? You do it, Dane. Damn it.
Absolutely.
But that's the approach.
Are you naked right now speaking with us?
I am not naked because my assistant, Jessica, is sitting across from me, and I think she'd have probably a good reason to sue if I ever let her go. And there's, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be a good idea. I don't think she'd sue me, though. She's got a good heart. I could be just saying
okay,
that.
Okay, well, that's
she
good.
Sue me. No, she's a good girl.
Um, I, Well, I'm not naked, just to let you know. Actually, I am.
Oh, good. But, oh, good. Well, damn it. I'm going to have to let you go then.
Well, you know, you got to do your thing then, you know. I definitely want to get into this whole music thing with you, man, because I am a musician myself. I've been playing drums, since high school. That's a long time. And I've been singing. I've been listening to your band, The Sandwich. I listened to your whole live over in Germany that one of your friends, at least, I think, recorded. You guys have a great sound. I know some musicians are weird about it. I've never been like that, but your sound had a very much like a Mumford and Sons in certain songs, and Jim Blossoms I even heard, but Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers or Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young flavor to it. And I really dug your voice. Very not as you don't have exactly his voice because Lou Reed's kind of weird, but almost Lou Reed mixed with Tom Petty, a little more melodic. But definitely appreciated your music. And what got you into music? How long have you been playing?
Well, first, holy shit, Dane, and thanks for those compliments. It's hard for me to take compliments. I could take compliments in terms of acting because I think I've done it so long that I've sort of like I go, hey, I've worked hard. I'm an actor. I've been doing it for a long time that I don't feel weird about taking praise when someone says, hey, you were really good in that. I sort of say, hey, I've been doing it since I'm in, 17 years old and working hard, and I could sort of take a compliment. But when someone says, mm-hmm. hey, I love your podcast, I'm like, thanks, man, we're really working on it. I'm trying to get better. And we like your music. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, and I always feel sort of weird. But I'll say this. I love music, and I'm really influenced by the 70s and 80s. And the music that you mentioned is all sort of music that I listen to with accompanied by 80s music and cheesy 80s and yacht rock, Christopher Cross. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there sprinkled in. And last night was the first time we did a song where I go, hey, this sounds kind of current. This sounds like people might like this today. And I was like, and we're going to go with that because this sounds really good and it's very apropos to the times and just like what people need right now. And it's just this really cool song. And I just started playing these chords. I go, my drummer, I'm like, hey, man, just give me a weird drum beat. And he's like, whatever. That sounds kind of like an electric drum set. But I started playing this chord, boom. And then four beats later, another chord. And then my lead guitarist went, and all of a sudden, it just came to life. And there's something about music that when you're, it doesn't matter if you've been playing for 50 years or you've been playing, you just learned three chords. It doesn't matter. If you feel something, it's working. And so when I play music, it moves me. I feel like I could forget about everything else for just a couple hours, and I could just feel the music, play the music. It doesn't matter if people think it sucks. Again, you got to do it for you. So 20-something years ago, my friend Tom was taking guitar lessons, and he was, like, learning John Denver because they were teaching him from John Denver. That's what you learn, and I love John Denver.
Yeah.
It's like, take me home, country roads. And I go, how do you do that? And he gave me the guitar, and I flipped it over because I play upside down and backwards. Because that's how he goes, you can't do that. I go, oh, fuck yeah, I can. And I turn my guitar over, and he goes, well, now you're upside down. I can't show you the chords. So I flipped it back up the way his way. He showed me a G. I flipped it over and learned the G. Learned the A. Learned the A minor. Learned the F. Learned the F sharp. Learned the C sharp major. And all of a sudden, and I just started learning. And I didn't take it seriously till probably a year and a half ago, where we just started playing music in the basement. A bunch of good friends who've known each other forever. Carl never played bass before. Ken never played drums. I never wanted to be a lead singer. I thought my voice sucked. And I don't have a huge range, but I just play what I can. And I try to write the songs that are, are good for my voice, and that's it. And we just try to have a good time with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being a musician myself, man, I've been in projects, and they kind of, like, when you have a diva in the band, and if anyone doesn't know what a diva is, and I'm not talking about great female singers. A diva is a musician that shows up late for practice, wants to control the whole entire thing. But it sounds like you're with a bunch of people that you like playing with, and that's all that really matters. You're recently in Germany. I don't think you played Hamburg like the Beatles, but you played Frankfurt, I believe. How was that?
Frankfurt, Cologne, Berlin. I mean, just incredible. If I told you how nervous I was, you wouldn't believe me. I was so nervous. I get so nervous with certain things, with music and stuff, that I just have to really trust that, hey, you know, it's like when you're a stand-up comedian and you go out there and you have a joke, you have to just believe it. When you're an actor and you say a line, you got to believe it. And when you're playing music, you got to believe it, even if you don't think anybody else is going to like it. You have to go up there and you know you love it and sell it in the best way you can. And
absolutely.
Playing in Berlin was just such an experience because everyone was fantastic. They were so great. We were playing with my friend Jason Manns, who is just a wonderful singer. And it was, you know, I was nervous because we're going up before him and, or no, after him, and he's playing his songs and they're mostly his fans, and he got us to come over there and nobody knows who we are. We're the Sandwich. And the next thing you know,
where did that name come from?
25 years ago, my friend Tom and I were, I think we're doing ecstasy on a houseboat. And I don't do that anymore, but Dane, I mean, you asked me, and I'm just telling you the truth here. We just start playing music till our fingers bleed. And my friend's girlfriend, Deneen, who he's still with, looks at us and goes, guys, you guys are on fire. And we're just playing all these songs and making stuff up. And I go, man. She goes, you guys need a name. You need a name for the band. I don't remember who it was. It could have been me. It could have been Tom. It doesn't matter. He goes, Shit Sandwich. And we just started laughing. Shit Sandwich. Later on, we found out that it was a name in Spinal Tap. But then fast forward till about a year and a half ago. Fast forward a year and a half ago, my friend Jason goes, hey, you want to open for me at the Troubadour? We're like, nope. Dude, just write a couple songs. Come on. So I wrote a couple songs. We learned it. I went up, and we said, wait a minute. We can't go a Shit Sandwich. We just can't go a Shit Sandwich. We gotta take ourselves a little more seriously. And then we just cut off the shit, and we're just the Sandwich. So that's how that happened.
That is amazing. Oh, God. Well, if you're ever in Georgia again for DragonCon, we'll have to jam out and get together or something.
Dude, I'd love it. I'd love it. And look, I'm not the most musically gifted. I don't know. I couldn't. If you said, hey, play a C sharp major 7 on a, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I can't go down to a, I just can't do a lot of stuff. But I know I'm really good at coming up with songs. Really, that's my gift. I come up with words and phrasing and songs and chords, and then the rest of the band kind of comes in, and the lead guitarist, Rob, is amazing, and that's sort of how it happens.
Well, absolutely. You sound like more like me. I'm a naturalist. I'm not really someone that's ever been in the theory, or like with drums, if you tell me certain things, I'm going to look at you like you're crazy.
That's me,
but if you just play, then I can figure it all out just by feeling the groove, basically. It's natural rhythm. I tell people it's because I'm Italian, but I have no idea if that's true or not. let me ask you, getting back to Lex Luthor, I definitely have some questions related to that character because I love Smallville and I loved your role. And this is not just me blowing smoke up your ass, but with all the actors that have played Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman, Kevin Spacey, Jesse Eisenberg, what's it like being a golden standard amongst fans for portraying the best or most accurate portrayal of Lex Luthor?
That's amazing. Thank you again for saying that. You know, it's been pretty incredible. It was an incredible run, that show, and you know, again, a lot of things have to happen for something to be successful, not just the acting, but the writing and the cinematography and the music and the producing and everything has to be right for it to be a great show. And I felt like I was part of something special. I love hearing, you know, you were the best Lex Luthor. I mean, when I hear that, that's just like, what an honor. And people say, dude, what the fuck is, why won't they let you play Lex Luthor in the movies? And I always say the same thing. I have no idea. Why not? It seems like a lot of people dug it. Give me a shot. Here's the only thing. I'm not mad that I'm not Lex Luthor in the movies. I'm not. I wish everybody the best. I wish Eisenberg the best. I want everybody to be great. But the only thing that pisses me off, the only thing that pissed me off after all these years, after doing that role for 7 years, all right? And this is the first time I'm saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a fucking
exclusive
audition. Give me a fucking
right, yeah.
audition. You guys, it's like, I, you know, if three people kept coming up to me and saying, oh, you were really good, I, you know, But it's just like if Smallville has a huge following, the fans were magnificent. It's gone on through generations now. You can watch it on Hulu. It's everywhere. And for some reason, I don't know. You can't, you know, certainly a lot of actors are going into TV now. TV, like it used to be where, you know, if you're a film actor, you go to TV, you know, your career's over. Now it is your career. All film actors. Jim Carrey has a new TV show. This is 2017. But my thought is,
okay, Bryan Cranston.
On the other spectrum, if you reverse it, it's like, dude, bring him in. Let the guy who played Lex Luthor for 7 years just come in and see his take. Maybe he'll suck. Maybe he'll surprise us. Maybe he'll be the next Lex Luthor. And so I just think it's not a discredit to me, or it's like it's more to the fans. I think I've heard from enough fans now that it's like, I think a lot of people would be really happy if at least I was up for it, if I had an opportunity. And so I think I've earned an opportunity, but you know,
absolutely.
I'm not in charge of studios, and I don't make those decisions. And I, you know, I enjoy my life, and I always said, hey, you know, if I ever got a shot to play Lex again, and if it was the right time, hell yeah. But I'm not, you know, I don't have to do it. I have a career. I'm having a great, you know, life and career. I just don't. But I always was a little bit. Not resentful, and I really didn't think about it for many years. But then I go, you know what? Those motherfuckers, they could have at least let me read for the fucking... Well, I can read. I learned to fucking read. So I just felt like, you know, in the most humble way, when this is articulated and written down and transcribed on the web, hopefully they'll say tongue-in-cheek making fun of it. But it's not anger from me. It's more about just like, I always wonder, like, you know, it takes me 5 minutes to, you know, 15 minutes to drive to Fox or wherever, and, you know, a 5-minute read in front of some producers or put me on tape, and no one ever asked me to read for any of that stuff. So it kind of is like, okay, well, what are you going to do?
Oh, God. Yeah, and the thing is about the big studios, they're going to probably claim, just like with Tom Welling with, you know, the part of Superman for Superman Returns, well, we don't want to confuse the general public, but really, when it comes down to it, if the fans would like to see you as Lex Luthor because of your performance as Lex Luthor for how many years, then yeah, they definitely. It's very surprising that you told me that you never did a tryout. That's crazy.
Never once did they ever ask me to read. Never got a call. Put yourself on tape. Nothing. And I'll tell you why.
Blasphemy.
What you just said about confusing the audience, with all due respect, is just asinine, because if they think it's confusing to every movie change Lex Luthor already, Eisenberg, before that was Spacey, before that was, I mean, and the Supermans have changed, I don't get it. You know, I don't. Batman's changed. Like that's an excuse. How about, hey, may the job go to the best actor. Hey, you know, give everybody a shot. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Screech from Saved by the Bell. Bring him in. Shave his head. See what he fucking can do.
I have to say that when it comes to Lex Luthor, there is one guy that I think that you know that did another amazing job. And you basically did the animated series at the same time you were doing Justice League. So you definitely had some interaction with Clancy Brown, obviously.
And what a wonderful guy.
Wow.
Great actor. Very underrated. Talent, obviously, too. Did you get any type of, not pointers or anything like that, but maybe did you watch his performance and take anything? Because you guys are it's very hard to say. It's like Keaton and Affleck. There's certain people that can portray the character from the comics very accurately, and then you can do something weird. Like, you got a great actor like Gene Hackman, but he's trying to scheme old ladies out of their houses, you know? But, like, you guys had the root of the character. Did you have any inspiration from him, or was it just completely separate?
It really was separate. I gotta plead ignorance on this one. I feel like I never really looked into it. And I think the creators, Al and Miles, who I love dearly, they're dear friends of mine, and hopefully I'm going to do Badlands next season. We'll see. There's a potential role. Yeah, he goes, so would you play somebody bad? I'm like, have I done it before?
Of course.
Fuck off. You created it. I love you. I really didn't I don't think they, nor did I, want to have any sort of preconceived or ideas of like what we wanted. I think it was just be genuine. You went in the room for the audition, and you were genuine and charismatic and dangerous. Do what you did in the audition, and that's the role. And I stuck with it. I go, they liked me in this. I'm not going to change now, or I'm going to get fired.
Yeah.
So I just kept doing what I'm doing. Do you want to leave, Jess? My assistant wants to leave. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Jess, don't go.
Please don't go.
Good night, Jeff.
Well, here's a question, not necessarily with the movies, but I think that what you guys do on Smallville and obviously jumping to the CW, you guys kind of started this whole chain of, you know, connected multiverse television show, DC. I mean, honestly, and we've talked about this on the show at length, the DC TV universe is more structured than their movie universe. Like, the movies are doing great, but there's a lot of structural problems. But with television, you know, Tom Welling recently made a statement. I heard you guys on your show talking about this. He'll have to be significant, obviously. But have you not necessarily been contacted, but have you thought about if CW basically was like, hey, we want to have The Flash come into the Smallville universe, set up something for possibly a crossover in the future, would you be down to play Lex, give you a chance even maybe to work with Matt Lesher as a reverse Flash? I'm getting super sweaty if you can't tell. But, like, if this could be a possibility, would you be interested, or are you trying to take yourself away from the DC TV, you know, world?
Those are great. Everything you said makes perfect sense. And it's
I'm glad.
A really good, descriptive, elaborate question that, for me to answer, I guess, ultimately, it's, for me, it's quality, and for me, it's it's twofold. It's one, I played Lex Luthor for 7 years on a TV show. That was great. And I don't think it could be better than that. I don't think, that, I mean, that was its own entity. And then all of a sudden these other shows spawned into what they are, which are all successful and good, and they have millions and millions of fans. And we missed social media because we were before it. And they're all doing justice. The people really love these shows, and their fan base is superb. But it just, you know, for me, you know, after I left, I went off and directed a movie, which was, you know, I just wanted to start directing and producing. I did this show called Impastor and produced. And whether or not they were huge successes or not, it's what I want to do. And thank God Smallville gave me something which was, you know, monetarily and other good things and a reputation that I do get work and I get offers and I can do a lot of things. And, you know, there are those actors that, you know, you have to work, and I was that actor before where I have to work and I need to make money and I just love it. And now I love it, but I really got to love it to want to do it. And so I love to work when it's something every day I go to work and go, God, this is what I want to do. I don't want to just act to act. So, you know, I did this little independent movie called The Neighbor that's coming out in December, and I did, you know, my friend Nick Swartz and asked me to do his funny show. So when friends usually ask me to do stuff, I try to do it. And I wrote a horror movie that we're trying to make. And so I'm really enjoying what's happening with my life. Now, to take on, you know, whether it's an arc or somebody offers me, and no one has, by the way, no one has ever offered me, I don't think. Maybe it stopped at my agent. I don't know. But to play Lex either in Supergirl or, you know, a crossover or, you know, Flash or whatever, or play the Flash, it's never really happened. And now if it did, and it just made absolute, like, I couldn't say no. Like, it just made perfect sense for, like, whatever. I mean, you know, I'm sure, like, I never say no. I just say, you know, I'm moving forward in a certain direction where I'm open to just great ideas and being part of something that's special and unique and not swaying away from, you know, veering away from who I am and what I want to do and being proud of things. So I was really proud of Smallville. I was really proud of The Flash on the Justice League. I'm proud of a lot of the work I do. And so it is. It's a tough question because it's like you don't want to say no, but it's just like, you know, if somebody said, hey, this is the idea, and this is, and all of a sudden I go, wow, that's just brilliant, and that's just, it's an offer I can't refuse, perhaps.
You know, it's just me as a nerd, Michael. I'm just envisioning you in the armored costume, leading, you know, Gorilla Grodd and everyone to battle. But no, you're right. I mean, it has to be based off of you're an actor. I mean, it makes complete sense. It's based off of what's going to be given in front of you. You wouldn't want to taint the amazing stuff that you've done with the character of Lex Luthor. Going back into The Flash, though, before we kind of leave this conversation, because I know that you've got some stuff to do. I feel, and this is kind of weird and random, I feel that based on how they're interpreting Ezra Miller's Flash, that they had an opportunity to do separate Flashes with their television shows being Barry Allen, and I feel like Ezra is acting more like how you portrayed Wally specifically up Justice League Unlimited. I know it's not that much stuff, but he's very sarcastic, full of
right.
himself. Do you feel like there's a lack of Wally on screen now? Because he was the premier Flash for years.
You know, I got to say, I mean, look, I know this. I know that when I said this before, when I go to conventions, I'm just amazed at the amount of, like, people who watched me voice the Flash and who listened to me and who – and then when you watch the series, you're like, wow, Bruce Timm was amazing in the direction and all these things and the animation. It was just a cool, cool series. And it was just – and people love that, you know, the sarcastic, you know, Flash. And I loved it. I think it was a wonderful, wonderful show. And all I could say is I have begged them to bring back Unlimited. I have, like, going, this is a great show. We all as a cast want to bring it. And
please.
We just want to... You know,
that'd be amazing.
So I would come back and voice the Flash in a heartbeat, anywhere, anytime.
There's no
question about that. But, again, you know, it's not like, believe it or not, it's not something I hear, you know, all the time, like, hey, come voice the Flash. Which is surprising because it was such a great series, but you know, again, everyone has their reasons. They have. Oh, this guy's got, you know, 4 million followers. Let's get him as the voice of this. Or I don't know how it works, but you know, I'm certainly up for you know that kind of stuff. To you know, I love doing voices. I love going in there and playing. It's always been, and I love that series. So, you know, hopefully something comes of it.
I would love just an animated movie to kind of close off, because it ended on a great note, but it feels like there could be more, especially with what happened with Lex Luthor and Darkseid and Atleta. That whole series was incredible. You know, you were talking about doing voiceovers. I know that you do impressions a lot, too. So we're definitely going to have to come back on, talk more about stand-up, impressions and everything. What's your favorite impersonation?
You know, I was doing, you know, since college. Live. Since college, man, I was always doing, like, people would put money in a bucket at parties just so I had beer money, and I go, hey, I'll do an impression, and I do Fire Marshal, you know, Fire Marshal Bill from, you know, Jim Carrey, you know, back in the day in Living Color, you know.
Yeah.
And I would do a great Chris Farley. Like, I could do Chris Farley. I met Chris Farley. I used to hang out with him, and I would do this Chris Farley where I'm like, good Lord, will you just knock it off? And I would do this, and he would pick me up over his head and go, oh, look, the fat guy is going to have to take care of the skinny guy. And I would do, I grew up watching the baseball, the Cubs, before, what's his name, Will Ferrell was doing it. I was doing Harry Carey, the legendary Cubs announcer, who's always,
yeah.
Hey, here's the pitch of the way, and a line drive, God damn, my ass was killing me. And I would do stuff like that, and I would do Christopher Walken back in the day, like before everybody was doing it. You know, I was doing it like years ago. I remember Kevin Spacey
did it
doing it, like going, your son, fuckhead that he is, and that bitch who a girlfriend. You know, we do this whole thing. It's stupid. And I start doing Spacey, who coincidentally just texted me the other day, and I was like, yeah, my boy Space is in town. And it's like, you know, in that whole Space, I would do an impression. I go, no, God damn it, listen to me. We're going to go to lunch right now. He's like, why are you talking to me? I'm doing your voice, Kevin. This is how you talk. He goes, I don't fucking talk like that. God damn it, Rosenbaum. Get the fuck out of my face. So I would do, you know, I just kind of like do everybody. I'm trying to learn the guy from Game of Thrones. You know, listen to me, sir. You know, Sansa.
Little finger?
I'm going to put my butterfinger in your ass. he would do something like this.
Oh,
listen
my
to
God.
Me. And then he gets wasted. I love how she killed his ass. I hope I didn't give anything away, but
yeah.
I love that.
No,
I love
you
how
didn't.
She's
that was
this empowered woman now. I fucking love that shit.
Yeah, I love that. I love that show, dude. And Littlefinger, that guy, I forgot the name of the actor, Gillian, I believe. He was incredible as that role. But, oh, my God. I mean, I do impersonations, but I don't think they're anywhere as near as good as that. Maybe we should have, the next time you come on, I will do an impersonation, and we'll be doing, like, a show, and you'll be an actor that's not you, and we can just, like, run with that for a little while.
I love it.
All right,
sure.
Well,
do it.
I don't want to keep you too long. I know that you got a lot of stuff. And, dude, I appreciate the amount of time, the great interview again. I definitely would like to ask you if you could do a drop for us. You know, you can just say, hey, it's Michael Rosenbaum, and this is Geek Vibes Live, or whatever you want to say. That was my announcer voice, if you couldn't tell. So would you be willing to do that, or no? Tell us
yeah,
about yourself.
Of course.
Okay,
done. You want me to do it right now?
Yeah.
Please.
All right, here it goes. Maybe I, okay.
All right.
I could do it a couple different ways, because that's how actors roll, man. We want to do the. All right, here we go. Hey, this is Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor from Smallville, The Flash, and the Justice League, and you're listening to Geek Vibes Live. Is
perfect.
That what you wanted? How's that?
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Perfect.
Sweet.
Oh, well, Michael. You know, obviously we already talked about your podcast again. If you guys haven't got a chance, it's called I just love the name of your show. It's Inside of you
with Michael Rosenbaum.
I got to tell you, because like two of my favorite podcasts, one's a wrestling podcast called Going in Raw, and now I'm listening to Inside of You. So if I'm at my work and my boss were to look at my YouTube for either one of those times, I'm going to have a great conversation with them. But great podcast, everyone out there in Geek Vibes Nation. I would definitely check it out. Definitely check out his band, The Sandwich. You guys fucking rock. When's your next date?
You know, we're figuring that out tonight, actually. I have another little meeting here that I have to go to, and then I have a little band practice, and then we're going to figure out when we're playing. And, yeah, and I'm about, you know, next week I drive over to James Gunn's house to interview him.
Whoa.
For the podcast. So, yeah, I appreciate
nice.
Everybody listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. I really appreciate it, man. You guys are great. And
no problem. Tom Arnold.
Yeah,
episode.
Well,
awesome,
listen to you guys and just keep kicking ass and doing your thing, man. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
man.
Dude, definitely come on. Do you got any upcoming movies or anything coming up
next? I got this movie called The Neighbor coming out Christmas.
Yep.
And I'm writing one right now. And I'm writing actually a TV show with the guys who I guess I can't really say anything yet. But the guys who produced Impastor with me, and he used to run Sony, and he
that's pretty funny.
He produced Two and a Half Men, and we're doing this really dark show. It's the story that I came up with, and I'm writing it. And we had a great showrunner, and you know, so we're going to be pitching it in the next month, and hopefully get bought and make this sucker, because it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I hope so too, man, and I will definitely be looking out for that. And definitely, like I said, come back and visit us. It has been amazing, Michael, having you on tonight, and have a wonderful evening, sir.
You too, boys. Hey, nice talking to you.
Thank you, man.
All
we
right.
Appreciate it.
See ya.
Peace.
All right, that was Michael Rosenbaum. That was a pretty damn cool interview. I feel like I'm friends
that
with him.
That was awesome.
It sucks. I just cut
he
him
was
off.
Awesome.
But,
you
know, he doesn't want to hear us. Well, at the end, you know, you got to, like, get rid of him. I could have muted him, but he had to go anyway. So I just didn't want him to hear us fangirling right now is all I'm trying to say. So, great interview.
Sweating moment.
Dude, me too. Like, he was talking about, like, I'm always nervous in interviews. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm freaking out right now. I hope I do get a chance to jam out with Lex Luthor. I think that'd be awesome. And he was just a really cool,
amazing,
down-to-earth dude. Like we've talked to two of the members of the Legion of Doom, between him and Matt Lesher, and honestly, two of the nicest guys.
And the Justice
League, completely unconnected.
Flash and Wonder Woman.
Yeah. We have. Oh, that's right. I guess technically we need to try to, like, you know, rally
we
all of them.
Finish, bro. We gotta get them.
Gotta rally them all. You know. But, yeah, that was pretty awesome, guys. That is how we roll, though. You know, we've had Kanan and Juwan working their asses off on Twitter, getting these amazing interviews. And The more that you guys listen, the better that we get, the better guests that we get. So keep on listening to Geek Vibes Live. I definitely want to thank my co-host, Joel. Joel, we kicked ass, man, and we're going to talk after this anyways. But thanks for doing the interview with me, obviously, and have a good night, buddy.
Anytime. Anytime, yeah. Good night, man. That was fun.
So you guys out there, remember, we got a show on Saturday, which will be changing to Sunday next month. Remember that. But, of course, our show will be on Saturday night, so check it out. And if you guys had fun and liked this whole entire thing, let us know on Facebook. Hit us up. Tell us some guests that you'd like to get us get. We feel fearless at this point. We can get anyone. So you guys have a wonderful night. Thank you so much. What were you gonna say, Joel? What were you gonna say?
I said we like to think so.
Yeah, of course we like to think so.
Exactly.
But I'm gonna play something in the background like I usually do to close it out. And you guys have a good night. All right, Geek Vibes Nation. Peace out. Listen to Justice League. Damn it.
Peace out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.